my goodness. Oh, okay, let's do the program then. Instead of just listening to music. That was Freddie Hubbard on trumpet, Cannonball Adderley on alto sax, Wynton Kelly on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, and Jimmy Cobb on drums, with Paul Chambers's quintet. And I heard that. This is from his 1959 album called Go. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it is President's Day. And normally, of course, we would say, well, so what? It's a day to take it easy. But today we will take our hint from the name of this day, and we'll talk about the president of the United States. Just to remind you, that would be Donald Trump. And this president certainly takes the cake for being, how should I say, most unusual, unusual president indeed. We've talked so much about the president, but in connection with a lot of other things. But let's talk about the president himself today. Why President Donald J. Trump repeatedly does outrageous, self-aggrandizing, illogical, and even bizarre things is a matter that many psychiatric experts have been trying to explain to the public for the past 2 years. Their professional so-called duty to warn, as they term it, they said, compelled them to publish a group assessment last year that Trump's psychological profile suggests he is incompatible with the duties and demands of his office. And further, they said, he is a danger to the country and even to the world. So we're going to talk about President Trump in this light, because we're seeing something else happening, the almost total absence of any discussion in Congress of the president's psychological stability and how it continues to have inordinate impact on how the country is run and on U.S. relations in the world. Whether you like him or you don't like him, I don't know that we know enough to make a judgment on that in terms of, a personal connection with Donald Trump. But we certainly can make some judgments, having had the benefit of 2 years of his term in office, and of course, two more to go. So he's right in the middle of his presidential term. But we should have come up with some idea by now, some feeling about this president and how he has been functioning in office, what we see as the fallout. Maybe you see that there's a great deal of good that he has done, which would make you a rare specimen. Maybe you feel that the president is badly characterized. Maybe you think that the president needs to be given more of a chance and that he's misunderstood. Or maybe you feel the way many people feel. And that is that the president, and I expressed this early, truth be told, I expressed early on serious misgivings about the president, primarily because the signals that he was sending very early on were so distressing, so disconcerting, and they did not in any way suggest that the president understood what he was supposed to do and to be as a president of this country. Very alienating and rude and crass and unthinking. Certainly, you know, in my view, as I said early on, you can't confuse this president with an intellectual person who has a sufficient, even just a measurable amount of information and preparation to take on this job, and let alone to be very successful at it. But we are at the halfway point, at the point at which people interested in the office are expressing their views and their intentions, which means that it is certain that President Donald Trump will have a lot of people taking him on, because he certainly appears to want to run again. And we have to be prepared for how this is going to work out. We've already gotten certain signs, and it may help us along in looking at the big picture. But I'm curious, and I think we should talk about that today, today being President's Day. How do you rate this president? And I'm really seriously asking for an earnest analysis from you. What bothers you about this president? What do you think he has been extremely good at? What has he accomplished, you think, that has served the country well? What do you think is going on in his head based on what you have observed? You and the whole country, the whole world, as a matter of fact, has had a chance to observe. So that's our theme today. This presidency, what is it? And should we feel comfortable about the prospect of another term? If you think he's done and is doing a very good job, let's hear it. I mean, it's important. And let's consider very seriously your observations at 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. Ed from Queens will start us off today. Hello, Ed.
Yeah, how you doing, Patrice?
Fine, thank you. I'm hanging in.
I hear you. As far as the performance of 45, as he's most commonly called, he's pathetic. I mean, he's a man who's encapsulated in his own little world. I believe he's narcissistic, and he fashions himself as a demigod. He operates on his own level of I don't even even if you want to call it intelligence or modus of operandi. It's just he's insane, and I dread the next 2 years. I really don't think he's going to be impeached. My hope is that he just actually has a epiphany of consciousness and resigns, because he has done a pathetic job. I didn't vote for him. I would never vote for him. And the only silver lining that comes out of this is that a lot of people that, in my personal sphere, a lot of people that were not politically aware have become politically aware and are starting to make moves towards becoming more active in the political spectrum on the local level and on the national level. And I think that's a plus. His inaction, his ineptitude, his ignorance has fostered a lot of people who were not politically involved or apathetic when it comes to the political spectrum to get involved. And that's
all right.
That's about
well,
the only
you've
good thing
given
about
us a general overview. Mm-hmm. Can you back up any of the statements that you have made with a specific charge, if you will?
Well, first of all, what's happening in Venezuela? I mean, it's totally is totally a retrograde of the Monroe Doctrine. He's destroying that country. He's allowing what they're calling the emergency relief. That's being pushed by the UN. It's something that I think is a red herring that's going to be used to infiltrate troops in there. His approach to Syria, the dropping the mother of all bombs, his lack of any type of infrastructure improvement, what he did with the taxes. I mean, there's a number of things that have been total disappointments. His blatant lies. I mean, the man has lied, I believe, more than any other president combined in recent history. And he even says that, you know, I have difficulty telling the truth or telling the truth, even with his emergency declaration. I don't have to do this, but I want to do it quicker. Is that qualify as an emergency? I mean, come on, the man's a joke. I mean, literally, he's laughable. And
when he took office, at first, right, did you have, let me put it this way, high hopes? Did you have some enthusiasm about his presidency as he took office?
None whatsoever, because to be totally honest with you, I've had experience in dealing with him, because as far as living and working in New York, I've worked in the construction trades for most of my life, along with my father. And I remember Walden Rink, that was his first foray into New York construction, and how bad that job went. And I have personal knowledge of contractors that lost their businesses behind this guy. I mean, I've seen his track record with his casinos, with his books, with his institute. I mean, you guys, I've looked at all of that from the experience of him, of knowing him as a New Yorker. And I was shocked that he became president. I mean, really, it was just it showed me how much racism and how much prejudice is in this country, because I honestly believe that because a black man was president for two terms, that's the only reason why this guy got in. He was a backlash. And a lot of people that voted for him regret it.
So you started out with an entirely different view of Donald Trump. And it was not one of excitement and anticipation, but you said you knew him in a way that most people, most New Yorkers especially, did not know him.
Yeah, well, like I said, through the construction trade, through some of the things, like I said, that first job, Walden Rink, I know two contractors that lost their businesses working with this guy and promises that he made. And like Helen Caldicott, she was, I think, the first chair in the press secretary in the press box at the White House. Helen Caldicott always said, "You want to know a person? The record, the record, the record. A leopard doesn't change his spots very rarely. You judge people by the actions that they've done in the past." And he has been a irresponsible, one step above a criminal, if not criminal, in his activities and his practices. So I had no aspirations that he would do anything other than what he's done. And I think we got two more years. There's a lot more we're going to see.
Well, thank you for getting us started today, Ed. Thanks so much for your contribution today. Ma'at from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, greetings, Utrees, and to the beloved family.
Thank you.
Okay, and I heard a sister on the news, the sister who, Ayanna Presley, from freshman congressman from Michigan, she refers to him as the occupant of the White House, you know, which I think is a good point. It's obvious he's an ex disaster, and to give one example, if you saw any clips from this summit going on in Munich, New Jersey, when Pence got up there, and he started out very somberly and saying, Well, greetings from the 45th President of the United States, Donald Trump. And you could have heard a pin drop. You know, the expectation was that there would be some enthusiastic clapping, and it was just everybody. Just you could hear a pin drop. And, of course, Ivanka was there. And she, of course, was in a very embarrassing situation. And when Angela...
But, I mean, instead of giving us this one event, give us your impression based on the totality of what you have observed of his presidency so far.
Right. Well, the event is given in an example of how internationally this president is looked at, and the contrast with how Germany's Merkel was responded to with enthusiasm, and she actually criticized Trump and what some of his problems were. But there's a good part to this, too, if I can jump to that. And the good part is that, according to many Republicans and former Republicans and never Trumpers, as some of them call themselves, is that basically the Republican Party is basically dying, which they should have been doing a long time ago. So I don't know how they recover from Trump himself, you know.
The Republican Party wrestling with Trump. Trump has become a dilemma, a major dilemma for the Republican Party?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it seemed like, and I'd like to know how that might flesh out at some point, but it seems like Trump has made sure that those Republicans and so-called conservatives are dead and dying as we speak.
But look at what he has achieved, despite the view, the popular view that, you know, he has become a major dilemma for the Republican Party, now more so as we approach 2020. Do you give him any credit at all for getting elected based on how he read the political landscape generally and specifically, even for his so-called base, but also for a broader constituency that didn't know him very well?
Yeah, and now they found out. Surprise, surprise. I don't give him any credit, really, because he appealed to the worst and lowest instincts of people in terms of their racism and xenophobia. So that cannot end well.
That's what politics is all about. You appeal to your base. You give them what you think they want, and you sell them your vision, and they bought it. That's how he got into the White House. So what's wrong with that picture?
Well, he got into the White House, too. I always bring up the Electoral College, which seems to be a vestige of when we were three-fifths of a person and the South had to be given some concession. When Bush won over Gore, the Democrats didn't stay on top of it because there was a way with five or six more states to sign on of a resolution where the Electoral College actually should have been history at this point.
But it wasn't, and it isn't. So how do you explain, based on your own analysis today, how do you explain the success, the stunning success of Donald Trump in the electoral way? How is it that he managed to really pull this one out?
Well, it might relate to all empires at some point must come to their end.
Okay. What do you expect? He has 2 years to go. What do you expect the landscape would be?
Well, I'm not even sure about that because those of us who are following Mueller's work, some of the latest things that have come out around Manafort, meeting with Kalimnik representing Russian intelligence and providing poll data, and the three of them going out of different doors, and Roger Stone now being connected to WikiLeaks and Guccifer. So I heard one Republican on Coast to Coast, you know, they deal with a lot of those types. It's a disgrace that George Norrie from the Middle East has wound up so right-wing. But he said that he wouldn't live out this particular person who, you know, is from the right-wing as a guest, said that he wouldn't finish this year. So let's keep our fingers crossed.
Okay.
There's so much scandal that's going to be coming out shortly, I think.
All right. Thank you. Was it a scandal that would pretty much put his political lights out?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. 888-874-4888. Ali from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Therese. How are you doing?
Okay. So what do you think of this president on this President's Day?
Let me tell you all the good things our good president has done. One of the things that he has done is what Ed said, he has taken up a lot of people that never thought about politics. He also brought all these new people into the Congress, people that I don't think they would have been elected, like Alexandra and the lady from, what is that, from Minnesota, they are also the Native American woman who was elected to the Congress. All these new people have been able to be elected. And I just don't think that these people would have been elected if Hillary would have been there. Also, another very good thing that he had done is that a lot of people realize that the Democratic Party is a joke. You see Pelosi, you see Schumer, these people are a joke. I mean, these people, they're not working towards burning this country. So, but one good thing that he has done, and people, they don't like him for that, especially the Republicans, is having a talk with North Korea.
You know what, Ali? We're getting a lot of static on your line. I don't know why.
Oh, how about now?
Yes, still static. Is there a way to change your phone, or I mean, not change your phone from the start?
Yeah, how about now? Can you hear me now?
No, it's the same thing.
It's the same thing. Oh,
yeah.
It has to be different. I could call from my cell phone.
Okay.
I could call back with my cell phone.
All right. We look out for you. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Bye bye.
Thanks a lot. Gwen from New York, you're on the air. On this President's
Day,
what are your thoughts of the president and the presidency itself?
Well, I'm not sure I can say it on the radio, but I'm going to take a chance. I just think he's a big turd.
No, don't take a chance.
I mean, that's what I think about him, and about his success. I don't know where the success is. I don't think there really has been. I mean, in some areas, I guess you're right. It is stunning to me that he is the person that would be delivering North Korea as peaceful as a pussycat to us. So that was, you know. That was pretty crazy. I think, though, that for the rest of the stuff, he's been, it's like being on the ride, the Wild Mouse. You ever go on the Wild Mouse? You know, that's how I feel every day. And it's not even over. It's 6 o'clock when, you know, like when everybody else's day is done, you don't know. He might just slip another one in between 6 and 6:30. So it's been a really, crazy experience. And you know, I had a friend that posed this theory the other day, and I can't really explain it, but I did think it was an interesting theory that, you know, Trump may be behind the murder of the newspaper reporter from the Washington Post, because
Jeff Bezos. Oh no, we can't say that.
We can't say that. Okay. Oh, I just said it.
No, we can't.
All right.
We can't say it because,
okay,
you know, there's been no proof. There's no, I only said May.
It's only a theory. It's not an accusation.
No, that's a big May. It's like saying, you know, XYZ person may have committed a horrific crime. We can't do that.
Okay. Well, it was something for me to think about, and I thought there were some markers there that were interesting as just you know, putting it out there. So I won't put it out there. But I think as far as the reason why he's the president is because people were getting tired of nothing burgers, you know? And so we have experienced for years and years and years people kicking the can down the road. And then I think after the Bernie election was stolen, there was so much resentment out there that people just said, okay, so you don't want to give me what I asked for. You want to ram something else down my throat. So here's what I'm going to do. And it was a very self-destructive action. I mean, it's kind of interesting to watch an entire nation act in a self-destructive way, but people were very, very frustrated, and that's what they did. And I think other people...
Let me stop here for a second, and let's mm-hmm. analyze what you've said. When you say that people have acted in a very self-destructive way, why is it that we see it that way as opposed to people acting in what they believe to be their own best interests?
Because I think that just like the builder that was on before, like I'm from a family of builders, okay? And my brother voted for Trump. But if my brother was really acting in his self-interest, why would he ever vote for somebody who screwed so many builders in Atlantic City, New Jersey? And they put them out of business. This is the guy that you think that we should have running the country? I mean, he wasn't even a decent businessman. He was terrible to the people that work underneath of him. So even if you had just looked at that part of it. But the next part was, how could somebody vote for somebody that was going to give this huge tax break to the extremely wealthy? And the people that are getting hit the hardest this year, they're going to get hit the hardest, are the people in my brother's tax bracket. And yet this is a tax bracket that really brought it home for Trump. A lot of people in that same tax bracket brought it home for him. And I guess their feeling was, nothing is moving at all. Let's try this guy and see if anything moves at all. And the funniest thing about it is watching, and the scariest thing for me, is watching people that used to be quote-unquote progressive and how they have demonized the Russians. They've totally demonized the Russians. And they talk terrible about WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, except for, like, hello, I was down at Occupy Wall Street when we were praising Julian Assange. We thought he was this great guy who was delivering all this news that we couldn't get. And a lot of people really supported him. But now, I mean, even when I listen to my poor mother, you know, she talks about the evil Russian Empire. But, you know, we're the ones that poked that bear. When Hillary Clinton was running for the president, she said over and over again, we will have a no-fly zone. Well, that message to Russia, and a lot of people didn't get it, was, you know, you fly one plane over Syria, Russia, and the United States, we're going to go after you. That was a big problem for Russia. Because, you know, Syria for them is kind of like, I don't know, Guantanamo Bay is for us. Okay, so this is a place where they have a lot of their bases. So I think that if there was any effort on the Russians' part to get him into office, the only reason I think was self-protection, so that we wouldn't attack them. And so far, we haven't attacked them. But, you know, President Trump is such an unpredictable character that you just don't know where he's going to be the next day. And he works so much from his emotions and his insecurities. You don't know what he's going to do the next day. But, you know, so far right now, we don't have a war with Russia. And I think that was at least what a lot of people on the left that did vote for him, they voted for him because of that. But
But here's the thing. I'm trying to have you engage with this thought. What if President Trump was far more adept at reading the political landscape and how to manipulate the political landscape as it existed so that he could win better than other presidents before him.
You want to know what I think about his manipulating skills?
Not manipulating. Look, a person running for office has only one overarching concern, and that is to win.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Right.
So why would you want to blame him for doing whatever it is he felt he needed to do to win?
You know what? I'm not blaming him. I'm not blaming him. I'm saying that if he got help, you know, if he got help, the people that helped him had a reason for helping. You don't have to agree with it or disagree with it. I'm just telling you that could have been one of the factors. And
but
as far as him winning,
on the flip side of that coin, Gwen, you have opponents who didn't read the landscape very well and who way exhibited a certain kind of arrogance to say, we don't even have to try.
That's right. That's right. And that's why people are so pissed off. And that's why they were so pissed off. Because people, you know, one of the things that the Bernie campaign did was it got millions of people off their ass. It got millions of millennials up and actually doing something, participating. And after all that grassroots, and grassroots work is hard. It wasn't $1 million at a time. It was $27 at a time. Me, I'm in freaking Camden, New Jersey, at people's houses, putting pamphlets into their doors, talking about the difference between these two candidates. And yet, at the end of the day, even though everyone, at least in New York, voted for, as far as I know, Bernie probably would have won if that election had not been manipulated, because 350,000 ballots went missing. And I bet you that happened in a lot of other places. So then you're getting the masses very angry. And when people have some skin in the game, and that means they're out there and they're actually working on something, and you decide you're going to bypass it because the outlook from the Clinton campaign was, we know what's best for you. We'll handle it from here. We know what's best for you. You don't even have a say. So when you take away people's say, and that's what happened, you know, they might have thought they were slicksters when they came in and they did what they did with these elections. But, you know, people are not stupid, and they were really angry. And so I think that had the Democrats been intelligent, they would have listened and put their finger on the pulse of the Democratic Party, people that are registered Democrats, and known that people are tired of waiting or sick of waiting. We want some change. This is the change we want. And stop telling us that we have to have it, this middle-of-the-road crap. This recipe has not worked. It does not work. It hasn't worked for years. What you've left is you've left our economy in shambles. I'm sorry, but, you know, when I went up to New London, Connecticut, Norwich, Connecticut, Camden, New Jersey, all these places were functioning towns, and they were towns that manufactured things. And then all of a sudden, President Clinton puts NAFTA and GATT in, which he said he wouldn't do. And then we see what happens over the years, and it was heartbreaking to see it. For somebody who was actually out there looking at it, it was heartbreaking. Camden was not the scourge of the earth. It was not. It was a home of RCA Records, and it was a home of Campbell Soup. And I remember when NAFTA and GATT went through, and there was some article in Time magazine about, you know, saying goodbye to Campbell's Soup. And so thousands of people lost their jobs. That never came back, and Camden is where it is today. But it wasn't always like that. And I was
What are you predicting? What are you predicting? There are two more years to go, maybe. That is assuming that nothing intervenes and short circuits or deprives Donald Trump of his remaining 2 years.
I don't think anything's going to happen. I think he's going to live it out. I think that the Mueller investigation is another nothing burger, that nothing's probably going to happen out of it. The Democrats do not have the will to impeach him. Nancy Pelosi said time and time again, we are not going to impeach him. They're not. They're going to try to manage him, but they're not going to impeach him. I'm really scared about what's going to happen if his crisis with the wall goes through, because that could mean he could also, as Gary Noll has said, and I've said openly out when I'm campaigning, that we do live in a police state. Right now, we're there. We're not going there. We are there. Now, I don't know how much tighter the reins are going to get, but they could get a lot tighter, and there could be a lot more violence with this man at the helm. but I think that he's going to give us it's not going to slow down. It's going to be a lot of unpredictability. If we go into Venezuela, I really, really am frightened about that, because I don't know that Russia is going to sit in the back seat and watch. If we do that, they might do it. They might have already made a deal to let the United States have Venezuela, but I don't know about Cuba. I don't know if Russia's going to sit back when we go to Cuba. So I think we have a lot of very frightening people. Elliot Abrams, I told you, I think he's Satan himself. I really do. And I think that John Bolton is you know, some kind of nutcase. And
yes,
I think that we are
Trump. We're talking about Trump today. That's Trump.
Well, I think that Trump is a very insecure man. And I think he's a pathological liar and a narcissist. And this is the key to his success. The key to his success is that he is a pathological liar, a narcissist, and I forget the other. I'm trying to find the last word for him, what he is mentally. But he's sort of like hitting Teflon. No matter what you say about him, he can't really feel it. He's a sociopath. The sociopaths don't own that. They don't own that part of the brain that can feel any kind of pain when you lambast them. He doesn't feel it. So he has staying power, because it doesn't matter how many arrows you throw at him, he is not feeling them. So he will keep going, and his ego is huge. So he is going to keep going down the road that he thinks is best, and he's going to do what, you know, he wants to do. And so that's why, you know, when you're dealing with this kind of mental illness, I mean, do you think that you could have reined Ted Bundy in? I don't think so. I mean,
but we have
he
to
was a sociopath
on.
Too.
You've given us enough to think about, but we have to move on. Thank you so much, Gwen, for your contribution today. We go back to Ali, who hopefully is static free. Hello, Ali. Are you static free?
I think so. You will let me know
if I am.
You sound
so much better.
Oh, okay, good. I don't remember where I was, but I was just talking about the good things that our president has done. And I think one of the last things that I said was the talk with North Korea. And I guess he's going to have another meeting. Good or bad, because I think he's a joke. And I think he's who has a bigger arm and who has a bigger hand and all that. I think it's a good idea to keep a talk with North Korea. And I just don't know if any good thing is going to come out of it. But at least it's a talk. I think he was trying to talk to Russia. But you know what happened in this country? In this country, it's like Russia is a boogeyman. So that was stopped right there. And nothing happened. And I don't think anything will come out of that. So those are, and another thing that he has done that I think is wonderful is waking up people, not only in this country that I mentioned before, for those ladies that they have gone to the Congress, but waking up people around the world to see the abuse that this United States of America had done around the world, especially in Latin America. As you know, thousands of young people gathered in the capital of Argentina in Buenos Aires to give support to the Maduro government. So this is something that is wonderful, that people in Latin America, because of what he's doing, is looking at this government, at the United States government, in a different way, and they are, I think, ready to fight. And you see what happened that they tried to do, his government tried to do it in Nicaragua, but it didn't go through. So this is the kind of things that that he has done that I think is wonderful, that people are waking up, more people are coming, and they wanted to participate in the political system. And more young people wanted to go, like people that were saying door-to-door to knock and get people involved. So I think that is wonderful.
What do you see Donald Trump doing or being for the next 2 years if he lasts that long in office? What do you think we should expect?
We should expect, besides Kavanaugh, more conservative judges on our courts. They have stacked up those courts with these conservative judges. And you know the meaning of that for people of color. It's really, really terrible what had happened. And I think it will continue to happen. Because even though the Republican Party, the majority, they don't like him, they have been able to pull through a lot of these judges, which a lot of the judges, they weren't able to be put in, into the system before. So this is, I think, is a terrible thing. And this is going to last for decades in this country, that we're not going to be able to remove these judges. Look at Kavanaugh. He's a very young man. So he's going to be in the court for a long time.
It is possible that with a change of regime, a change of administration, you never know. That could be one of the fights that they do take on, revisiting the Trump appointments and trying to find ways, little cracks in the armor, to tackle the business of reorganizing all of his appointments. You never know. But thank you, Ali. Thank you so much for everything that you've contributed today. David from Brooklyn, what have you to say about this president?
Good afternoon, Utrice.
Hello.
I may have a little different perspective. To me, Donald Trump is wickedly brilliant. The reality that he was able to pull off winning the presidency and doing whatever was necessary to deal with that base, that's the common people, and manipulate them to voting for him and doing what it was necessary to come in. To me, that is brilliant. That's wickedly brilliant. Now, in terms of presidents, I don't think any president that gets in the White House that is the chief executive officer in this type of situation where you have an empire and you're going to run an empire is, you know, someone that I would necessarily be in favor of, anyone. The point is this. The country, this is a fascist capitalist republic that has at the top oligarchs. So Mr. Trump has done some very good things for them. The number one thing on his agenda was to put in the big tax break for his ruling class buddies. He has been very good in being able to manipulate the masses of people in certain elements to be manipulated to the point where the people are fighting against each other, and that's a major thing in divide and conquer. He's very good at that. So the point is that he can be a very crude person and do the things that most people wouldn't do in company, but he's still winning. So he's worked out a formula how to manipulate the people in such a way as to get his way. So I know the ruling class is very happy, because he's filling their coffers with all kinds of cash. He's upping the so-called, quote-unquote, defense budget, which is really a war budget, which makes them very happy. And they think that's nice. So the point is that when you evaluate Mr. Trump, you got to look at all these things and all the things that people have been talking about how bad he is. He's good for some people and bad for others. And those others, I would say, are the majority of the population, and even for those people who are in his so-called base, and they don't understand that he's bad for them too, but some of them are so blinded by white supremacy racism and being able to be played with side issues like immigration and getting their attention away from the reality of living in a fascist state that we have.
But I have to ask you this question, though.
Corporations.
I have to ask you this. In all that you have said, aren't you actually defining and at the same time denying what politics, what U.S. politics is all about? You identify your base, and you do everything in your power to deliver to your base, which gives you security in office. So why is he to be blamed for working a tried and true formula?
Yeah. Well, if you can go to the base and get them to the point where they will support you, you can go to the oligarchs on the other end and deliver what they want. So that's the goal, to deliver to the oligarchs and manipulate the base. So that he is a master at that. And, it's working very well. And I'm sure the oligarchs who are putting in the money into their coffers, are very happy about that.
The Democrats just laid down on the job.
Yeah, well, the Democrats, see, they are part of the corporate structure also. So these Democrats, they're not involved with being interested to any large degree in the masses of people. The Democrats are in the service of those who rule also the oligarchs. So even though you have, Democrats and Republicans, supposedly two different parties, their goals are the same. They both serve the interests of those at the top, the corporate structure in a fascist society that is an empire that is going all around the world and taking resources from every country they can.
If we understand politics as having one primary rule, and that is to win at any cost, practically.
That's right.
To just win. Why are we so, and I say we, because this is a generally shared view, I think, why are we so upset about Donald Trump being so successful at doing exactly what the Democrats would have done?
Well, I think that people are upset because of his style, his way of operating. They are not used to that. He's not a type of person that has good manners and that sort of thing. And his style is different, so that's upset some people. But I noticed that. But what I'm really looking at is the mission, and he is very successful in getting the mission done of those who rule that oligarchy at the top, and that is to fill their coffers, pay no taxes, and have a big war budget. They call it defense. And he's doing that for them.
But this is exactly what the Democrats have done. I mean, they had some of the biggest war budgets going, some of the greatest numbers of errant office holders engaging in massive corruption.
Yes.
We've been talking about the Clintons. And the billions, that's with a B, billions of dollars that still are unaccounted for.
That's right. So, you know, whether you're talking about Democrat or Republican Party, so-called parties, they're in the same bag, and they're part of the corporate structure that we have here. And this is a place where, you know, capitalism, a lot of places, but here capitalism is rarely in charge.
Trump has done capitalism better than anybody before him. He's a super capitalist, and he has succeeded at it, even though it comes at a very high price for ordinary people in this country. So, quick, David, could you tell us what you see for the next 2 years? Is he going to be tamed, or is he going to get even worse?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. As I see it, I think he's going to hang in there for the remainder of his term. That's my view. And he will probably make a good run of it for the next election. And he's going to develop some fantastic strategies in terms of how to manipulate his base. And he's going to do that so that when the ruling class nominates him for the presidency again, he's going to work out a strategy to play the people to a tremendous extent so that he can perhaps win again. That's possible. I wouldn't count him out for the next time around.
All righty. Thank you so much. I enjoyed your contribution today. John, you'll be the last person on the program today to talk. John
God
from New Jersey.
God help me. How are you?
I'm okay. How about you?
I have been better.
All right, let's get to it because we're running out of time. We're running tight on time. How do you assess this presidency and this president?
I assess it as it being a failure, total and complete. The one thing he has done, though, a few things he has done, he has brought to light just how corrupt our two-party system is. It's completely corrupt. I can't even imagine communism being worse. Neither case. He has proven that the dumbing down of America has in fact been a complete success. I don't know, and he's just made me embarrassed to be an American. I couldn't believe one of the tabloids in England, I believe, that the day that George W. Bush won his second term, the headline was something to the effect of, to paraphrase, is it possible that there are 65 million stupid people in America? I guess there are. You know, that's the only thing I could say about this man and what he has done to this once promising idea. The Constitution has now been reduced to toilet paper. People don't even realize that when they say that the Pledge of Allegiance, it is an allegiance to the Constitution, not to the flag, it's not to the party or anything like that. That's what it is. The Constitution is the only thing that keeps us all out of jail, supposedly, although they don't even reference it anymore. It's a sad scenario, really is. That's my feeling about what he's done for us. Thank you very much,
but
Donald.
If you could be a little bit more clinical, I understand, you know, you're very emotional about it, and you have a right and reason to be. But from a clinical, going back a couple of steps and taking a broader view, what is that view?
what is that view? You throw these questions at me, and it's just talk about broad. I'm a broader view is embarrassment. I'm embarrassed about what's going on. The idea about us getting involved in Venezuela is once again right out of the fascist place.
Look what they're doing. They're telling us a program presented, and you can't take some of the listening. How about